This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So when you hear the word coyote, what's the first thing you think about? For me, it's clearly Wile E. Coyote from Looney Tunes. Are coyotes wily?
Very.
Okay.
Yes. I'm biased a little bit, but they're one of the most wily and extremely intelligent and quick learners out there of any of the animals.
This is Stanley Garrett. He's an author and a researcher, and his new book is called Coyotes Among Us, Secrets of the City's Top Predator. Now, when I first saw the title, I kind of did a double take, because in Looney Tunes, the coyote is chasing the roadrunner, mostly in rural areas. I did not know they lived in cities, especially Chicago, but apparently...
You find them everywhere.
Everywhere, including in the loop, like kicking it a few feet away from the bench you're sitting on. Reading this book was wild. So many fun facts and stories about coyotes, which inevitably became stories about people, about us and how we're all a bunch of animals living together. Stan and his colleagues didn't know all of this either initially. Early on in their research, they started making these traps to catch coyotes in the city and then release them with radio collars on. So they've spent the last 24 years tracking the animals' habits and territories around Chicago. But coyotes haven't always been so prevalent in the U.S. Like so much of the country's history, it goes back to colonization. European settlers were moving westward across the country, and they ended up removing a lot of the threats to coyotes.
We cut down forests, removed wolves, and basically opened up the eastern half of North America to coyotes.
Now, you probably noticed that me and Stan say the word differently. I say coyote, he says coyote.
Yeah, so that is the number one question I get asked. Either pronunciation is technically correct, so okay. Feel comfortable calling them however you want.
Stan started his research back in the early 2000s because Cook County Animal Control was getting calls about coyote sightings around town.
This whole phenomenon of an urban coyote was unknown prior to 2000. And all of a sudden, coyotes started appearing in the suburban areas of the Chicago metro area. And no one knew what that meant. Like, is that something to be worried about? Mm-hmm. Is that something, is that animal there because it made a mistake and it doesn't belong there? And so the initial response was for the agencies to send people out to try to catch these animals and relocate them where they're supposed to be.
Okay.
But what they found out is that they didn't have enough personnel time or money to try to do that, and it can't catch them in the first place. So it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And so they asked me, can we just do a short little one-year study and basically find out what's going on? And we all assumed that these were just poor, kind of stupid animals that were young and maybe not 100% healthy or something. And they just ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, yeah, because even what you said, relocate them where they're supposed to be.
It's like, supposed to be. Right, as if that's a
mistake.
They
are where they are supposed to be. Yeah.
That's it. And that was what we learned almost immediately. It was
wow.
Like we're totally underestimating so many things about them. The first one was that once we started trapping and radio collaring some of these animals, we realized, yes, they're exactly where they're supposed to be. These aren't animals there by mistake. They're residents. They're animals that made up that territory that I was just talking about.
Yeah.
That territory now includes that subdivision over there. So those people are inside that animal's territory.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
They are among us.
Mm-hmm. They're among us. Mm-hmm.
There's so much. I mean, you've been doing this, you and your colleagues have been doing this research for over 20 years.
Which means we're really old. So I realized that. I gave a talk the other day for a book signing thing, and I just had a picture of me at the beginning of the project, in the middle of the project, and now. And I said, it's so sad to like see yourself become an old man during one project. And that's what's happened.
I mean, you're committed, you know, and you're a subject matter expert now, you know.
Right.
So I think could be maybe bittersweet.
Yeah. Right.
I got to ask you about coyote number 441, the most urban coyote.
The most urban.
Yes. Tell me about her.
Yeah, so she was one of our, when we started to make our move and try to begin our monitoring actually in the core of Chicago, which is extremely difficult. I mean, try to imagine trying to capture coyotes among all of the steel and concrete around here. So she was our first animal that we were successful actually capturing off of Lakeshore Drive.
Okay.
Radio collaring her, and she ended up, you know, having this amazing territory that included this spot right here on Navy Pier.
Navy Pier.
Yeah, she would be on Navy Pier.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Right. She would go from Lincoln Park, so she was kind of a north side animal.
Okay.
So, and then she would make it down to Grant Park, but for the most part, she'd go from Navy Pier to Lincoln Park. And by the way, the reason why I called her the most urban coyote is because we calculated, you know, we basically looked at the perimeter of her territory, which included part of the loop, and calculated the human population in that area. And it ended up being over 700,000 people. So she has either living or working within her territory. So she was living among 700,000 people.
Wow.
In the beginning, because this was kind of the early stages of coyotes colonizing like Lakeshore Drive and that type of thing, people often misidentified her. They thought she was a dog.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was like, well, that collar doesn't look right. I mean, who would put that collar on their dog? And then they would get online. They would see our study. And then the first time she made the news was inadvertently, I think it was Channel 10. They were doing a spot on the street about something completely unrelated. They had their reporter in front of the camera, and it was right at dusk, and they were doing their interview, and she ran behind them. And the cameraman actually drifted
off.
Followed her. And they said, I think that's a coyote. And so that's how she made her first appearance.
As you said, you know, they're prolific animals. What are some of the patterns that are unique to Chicago coyotes?
Right. So these kind of relate to like what changes do they undergo to be able to live in Chicago, right?
Okay.
And so one of them is that they become nocturnal exclusively. So as they move closer to the city or closer to people, they restrict more and more of their activity to nighttime and then stay inactive or resting or hidden during the day. That's not how coyotes normally operate out in the country. So they can be active at any time. They tend to peak a little bit during dawn and dusk, but they're not exclusively one period or the other. But when you get closer to the downtown area or other places with a lot of people, they have to be active during the night. So that's one thing that they do. The other thing that they do is they will start taking advantage of some of the foods that we provide them, either on purpose or accidentally. So they'll broaden what we call their dietary niche, or they'll broaden their food selection. So, but they still have a lot of natural prey for them to feed on. So what our dietary studies have shown is that coyotes are all over the place in terms of what they're seeking out for food in the Chicago area.
Okay.
The family that they belong to, the wolves, the coyotes, and the foxes, are known to be monogamous. However, when geneticists test these animals, they always find cheating going on. And cheating is like the natural world. So birds are supposed to be monogamous. And once they started testing them genetically, they found cheating across the board. We thought we would find the same thing because these coyotes have so many opportunities to cheat. There's so many of them here, and they're living in such small territories. Mm-hmm. But what we found is at least through 17 years of the study, we haven't finished the last block of samples, but for 17 years, absolutely not one case of cheating among our pairs. So our pairs are extremely, extremely monogamous. They stay together year after year after year.
It's striking when you're using the word cheating because it has this betrayal component to it. I mean, in your research, even with other animals, I mean, is it experienced as a betrayal by the animals as well, if the male or female, I guess, step out.
I hate to put myself exactly into their feelings in terms of that.
Yeah.
But the amount of work that they put into their mating bonds is substantial.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
How do coyotes in and around Chicago normally die?
Cars, by far and away. So that's their number one cause of death. So we're still their number one, I guess, mortality agent.
Humans.
So in the country, it's hunting and trapping that kills most coyotes. In the city, it's cars. Mm-hmm. The only natural thing really that causes some death would be mange. And so we do have about roughly somewhere between 8 to 10% of the animals in any one year that are infected with mange.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, they're super healthy.
Hmm. So we are their number one mortality agent.
Mm-hmm.
What threat do coyotes pose to humans and our beloved pets?
Yep. Well, there is a risk associated with them. They are predators. The good news is that the vast majority of them are very shy and timid and actually do everything they can to avoid us. Mm-hmm. So again, going back to those early questions of why did we start this study in the first place? That was one of the first ones is like, how dangerous are these animals and should they even be near people? Over 95% of the animals that we have collared have caused no problems for people whatsoever. You wouldn't know that they're there at all. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know that they're there if we hadn't radio collared them. It's only a very small percentage. Unfortunately, that's the percentage that most people will see. And so they assume that that's what coyotes are doing. Mm. And really, the only way that this whole thing works is if they have a healthy fear of us. If they lose that, it's often because they associate us with food with no negative consequences. And so that often comes from people feeding them. Some people are doing it on purpose, and most people are doing it unintentionally. So if we can just control that, we control a lot of our conflict.
Yeah. And feeding unintentionally would be like mistakenly just constantly leaving food outside? Okay.
Yeah, it's garbage mainly. It's like garbage. Sometimes it's feeding your pets outside. So if you could just like feed them during the day and then pull the food in at night, that will keep coyotes from associating your backyard with a food supply. We've also found some really unique ways that people unintentionally feed coyotes, such as in cemeteries, some people will leave offerings on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Well, the coyotes know that.
I want to talk about predation and the benefits of keeping coyotes around. Tell me more about that.
So some of the things that we found really quick is that they are really good at predating goose nests. So those Canada geese that become somewhat of a problem in
nuisance.
Places.
I'm going to say the word.
Nuisance. Especially when you walk too close to a nest. Yeah. So coyotes are the only effective predator on them. And we did document through a lot of hard work and years of effort, we were able to document coyotes taking eggs from the nests and basically dropping the growth rate of the goose population by half. So that's a positive benefit. And yet that's all done at night. It's all done in areas where people don't see it. So that's a positive effect that no one knew. And we didn't know either. It was purely by accident that we even asked that question. So we just happened to see a coyote at one night go into a marshy area, a big bird fly out, and then it came out with this big white thing in its mouth. We thought, we wonder, are they doing that much? And we started seeing more of that. And then we had colleagues doing a goose study, and they documented, these animals are wiping out the nests, just wiping them out.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a positive. White-tailed deer. So deer are a bit of an issue. And in fact, that's the most dangerous animal when we're talking about risk to people. It's actually deer poses the greatest risk to both personal property and health, and that's because of deer auto collisions. And so we've had fatalities happen because of people hitting deer, especially on a motorcycle. So it's a really important ecological function that they're performing, that if they weren't here, there are no other animals that can do that.
Mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about we have this fear, sometimes healthy, but mostly not, of coyotes, and we don't want to cohabitate with them a mm-hmm. lot of the time, and we're afraid. How do you hope that that would change based on what you know now?
What's going to happen is that we've already adjusted to some degree. So people's attitudes toward them now compared to what they were back in 2000 is night and day difference.
Wow, how so?
People are a lot more tolerant of having coyotes around. That's not to say that they are okay with coyotes living near them. It's not their choice. If they had a choice, they would remove them. But they've come to realize that that's just another feature of the urban landscape now. So so it has kind of changed. What's interesting is that it's coyotes that are driving the change in that relationship with us. So it's not, yeah. I would like to think it's our research, and I would like to think it's a book or something like that. But the fact is that people don't really change their attitudes that easily. It's because coyotes have been able to be successful regardless of what we do to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually kind of forcing people to come to the realization that they're kind of here to stay, regardless of what we do about it.
Mm-hmm. So you've been doing this for 24 years now. What is your research going to be looking at going forward from here?
The questions I'm hoping we can answer coming up would include the personality question. So this is a hot topic in urban wildlife ecology.
Okay, put me on.
Yeah, so it's the idea that, you know, animals have personalities, just like we do, or at least to some degree like we do. And so the theory here is that in an urban environment, there are certain kinds of personalities that may be more successful than others. And then if that's genetically linked, then you're starting to see a change in the animal over time. And so we're kind of exploring those very hard, difficult questions with coyotes. It's important to know, because that gives us an opportunity to try to predict what are coyotes and the relationship between them and us. What's that going to be like in 20 or 30 years from now? Is it going to look like it does now, or will it be different?
Stanley Garrett is an author and researcher. Stan, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Stan's new book is called Coyotes Among Us: Secrets of the City's Top Predator, and it is out now. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszek is our executive producer. Ethan Schwab was the engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have a funny Chicago pitch for us, something that could be really interesting like this conversation, please email us. We want to hear about it. It might end up on the show. You can email therundownpod@wbez.org. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.